This video will be sponsored by SNHQ. So it's 2025 and cybersecurity is still all the rage. Breaches are at an all-time high and so are cyber salaries. But there's a problem you keep running into. Cyber jobs you want to land are requiring a degree and you don't have one. Let me introduce you to today's sponsor, Southern New Hampshire University, SNHU. SNHU has a flexible online program that also touts one of the lowest tuitions in the country. SNHU is an affordable, accredited, nonprofit university that has dedicated career advisors, webinars, internships, and wants to prepare you to enter or advance in the workforce. There's a 32% projected growth of information security analyst roles through 2032. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the median security analyst salary in 2023 was $120,000. In SNHU's program, you can learn about these critical subjects: cybersecurity foundations, networking, incident response, risk management, enterprise security, and more. As a cybersecurity professional, these are all important courses. If you would like to know more about SNHU's program, then please visit snhu.edu/textual or click the link below in the description. Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD, and we got a return guest for you guys, none other than Certified Curls, a.k.a., for y'all that know her, she is the lady engineer. And she decided to stop by tonight. They got a lot of stuff going on in downtown Dallas. We've been kicking it, but for those of y'all that are not familiar with her, y'all like her. But first things first, if you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know what to do. Follow the podcast, leave us a review, help us out in the podcast analytics. And if you're watching right now, just hit the like button. And if you really like the content, subscribe to the Patreon. But Lisa, it's been close to...
Three, 4 years
mm-hmm. since you was actually... Well, technically our episode. You've been on panels before from time to time, but it's been a while.
It's been a hot minute.
And I think the last time I actually seen you was at Penn Stack.
Penn Stack, yep.
And that was, what, 2 years ago,
I think. Was about 2 years ago. Man, it's been a minute.
It was. Because, see, the last year we all met up at Putt Shack.
Oh, the putt thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I want to try a puttery.
Oh, it's good. I went there at the Colony.
Like, yeah, then they be doing like puttery R&B nights and stuff there too.
I don't know. When we went, it was, it's vibe. It's vibe. I like it.
Yeah, I'm
going
to try.
I'm definitely going back. Okay, for sure.
But now, guys, she had an iconic first episode with us. We're going to try to see if we can top that. But for the people who don't know who you are, can you explain who is Lise, or, as I said earlier, what's been going on with Lise?
Yes, I can. My name is Lise, otherwise known as Certified Curls online and on YouTube as well. I am a network engineer by trade, and I recently just transitioned to the network security side of things. So that's why I'm here to talk about as well that mm-hmm. side. But yes, I have about, at this point, over a decade of networking experience. I started in the military. That's where I got my experience, and just been working private ever since I got out.
I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of allure over working in the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of allure. And even my homie, we talk about this all the time about, like, you know, GovTech and everything else. Like, though it's pretty stable, I could see pros and cons in both.
It is.
Depending on who you work for and where you work for. But a lot of times, you didn't work with them. I didn't work with these people. People ain't doing no work.
It's a different side of things from the military side, the GS employee side, and the contractor side.
The contractors do more work than GS.
The contractors do way more work than the civilian side, but I think that's a well-known kind of
thing. For everybody, you know, people, they don't know. Because think about it, a lot of those, the government don't really change technology that much. Mm-hmm. So what I've been saying in past episodes was how, you know, everybody was getting their panties in a bunch about mm-hmm. all the stuff of returning to office for government workers mm-hmm. and having to get into the job search. I was like, well, someone's going to be in a deficit because they don't know none of this new stuff that's been on the market. However, if you still understand the concepts behind them, you'll be straight.
So the government claims, you know, there's no money in the field, but that's why they're kind of working on old stuff from the 50s, the 60s. Everything that just ain't used. Yeah, if you got like the other agencies that have to upkeep with some of the new technology, you might get lucky to work with some stuff. But usually I worked with legacy equipment or older equipment. we would have to sometimes cannibalize our equipment. What we had to do, manage with the old equipment. It was, hey, keep all your old equipment and take some parts from that old equipment and fix this equipment that we currently got because they don't have any money to give us for anything new. That was most of my job in the military anyways.
Crazy. Now, I do need to ask, and it's going to sound like a silly question. What is the difference between working networking and then doing network security?
So the difference between, so working networking is, I would say, heavily built on the actual infrastructure. So if you're working, depending on if you're working smaller companies or a company that's operating out of a specific data center, which most of everybody's working out of some type of data center. As, but so you're working actually with infrastructure and building that infrastructure and maintaining it. Network security, at least in my side of network security, where I'm looking at, you obviously need to have a security background, not as in depth as the full, you know, incidents or cyber or response or anything like that. I don't have to deal with that. But when you're dealing with network security, that's dealing with your VPNs, that's dealing with your firewalls, that's dealing with any type of access control that's going on to the actual network.
Okay.
So, or certificates, SSL, anything that has to deal with actually securing the actual network infrastructure itself. That's the main difference between it. And less hands-on, I would say, for sure.
Now, do you also deal like with the WAFs and stuff like that?
We do. So web application firewalls. We have one. I can't speak to them. That is on a, obviously when it comes to dealing anything with the application side of things, I have very minimal knowledge on. So, but yes, WAFs are definitely.
Now I was going to ask, because like for us, when it's anything dealing with our WAF, we call like the perimeter defense team. And correct. They're too, like the networking, but
definitely. Guys. Yeah, for sure.
Like you learn like a lot of stuff like that you can do application side with the WAF, like, we use one of the popular services. They pretty much monitor everything. And they'll send us things and say, hey, we see a spike in traffic, yada, yada, yada. We're going to look at it first. And then, you know, everything y'all need to look into it. And y'all look into it more. So, like, occasionally we do go into the WAF and look at stuff. And, you know, we find out, like, a lot of times for us, the biggest thing is, like, bots.
Yeah.
So people using bots and trying to shut down a network. And then they use, like, certain things. They'll be from, like, a certain region. And they'll have a certain category of what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so learn different ways, like, oh, hey, you can block somebody by the ASN and then you can specify for this region. Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
And that works the same actually with just regular, like, next gen firewalls. They can do the same thing, categorize. You can block by regions, you can block by, like, usually there's a standard block list, you know, like you got North Korea, you got Russia, you got China. Like, these are all kind of the standards that you would add.
Countries of interest.
Yeah, countries of interest. That's typical. So that you could do that as well if you didn't know.
So also I want to ask you too, how has your networking career been since you've been in DFW? For those of you that don't know, actually I didn't really want to go into content creation to the end, but kind of connects because it's like, I want to say, is that around the time you were getting out the military?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was like around the time you were getting out the military and you made all this content. And you was like, yeah, I don't know if that first video, if you're already out here, but I know you're saying, hey, I'm getting ready to move to Dallas. And it's funny how the algorithm worked. Like, it seemed like everybody started their channels around the same time. It's COVID, ain't nobody had nothing to do.
So I started mine pre-COVID, before I came out to Dallas. COVID started my first year living in Dallas, which was interesting, very much interesting. No, was it the first? Yeah, 2020.
COVID started 2020.
Yep, my first year then, because I moved out here, I think it's 2019.
Okay.
Or 2018. One of the two. Honestly, I can't remember.
Probably was, might have been 2019.
It might have been 2019.
Hey, if it was, you missed the best year in Dallas was like 2019.
Really? I moved at the end of 2019.
Okay, October, never mind. It was like over then. I like the beginning of the summer to like the end of it is like a there's a group out here called You in Dallas, mm-hmm. and it was a Slack group, so everybody was in Slack. Like mm-hmm. it got so big to where shout out to More in Dallas, by the way. It started breaking up by sections. So mm-hmm. everybody who stayed in North Dallas, like the Frisco, Plano, mm-hmm. Carrollton, all that, we had our own group. Mm-hmm. So we was putting our own moves together. Like everybody's going like to Top Golf and the Colony.
So COVID pretty much ruined it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We was going to certain people like they said apartment, like, hey, I got my you know, like the event space like in your apartment. Mm-hmm. Like we was like meeting up there.
Okay,
we was,
okay.
Like grilling, swimming pools,
yeah,
karaoke nights. Yeah. Like it was fun, and everybody was like professionals.
So I did miss out on the fun.
Yeah, because like a lot of people was moving, and yeah. they was like, okay, what's to do? And he mm-hmm. put that together, and it like perfect. I met like all type of people like that summer.
Damn.
No, the last great right. summer, the last kidless summer. That's why I said that too.
The last kidless summer. That's funny. We actually lived in Dallas, like not North Dallas, but the actually North Dallas, not Frisco Plano, like
yeah.
actually North Dallas, like off 635 North Dallas.
Okay.
When we moved out here, no complaints about it. I liked yeah. it. It was close to everything.
So were you like close to like Addison or whatever?
Yes. Yep. What's that street? Churchill and 635.
Okay. I know.
That was the apartment that when we first moved out here, that's where we lived out. So we was like, Addison was right here. We could have drove to the city over here. Like we was bam, smack dab in the middle.
That's what I like about it. That's why I want to have eventually like my studio space. I want it to be in Addison. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's centralized.
Yeah.
It's a lot of eating closer. Spaces, a lot of stuff to do. A
lot of food. And you know Beltline right there.
Yep.
All the food.
We go to Village on the Parkway, shoot AMC, mm-hmm. Pluckers, Yard House, mm-hmm. Sidecar,
all the
Stir.
Food. Everything is in Addison. Mm-hmm.
Either that or Frisco. But how has it been? Like, you know, I know you documented it, your goal, your hiatuses, but how has networking took off for you since you've been the big D?
So I would say I have had actually located in Dallas since I moved out here. 2-3 of my jobs, most of my jobs pretty much have all been centralized in Dallas. This was pre-COVID, I had, you know, a job out in Dallas at a FANG, and then I worked at Microsoft. Then I got another job with, they were all over the U.S., but headquartered here. Corporate was here in Dallas, okay. And then they moved to another city towards the end of when I left or whatever. And then that was most, I would say that job was most of my documenting my
mm-hmm.
journey through networking was with that job. And then I left that job and everything kind of just was remote after that because of COVID. And it was, I was interviewing constantly. I was getting job offers. Sometimes I wouldn't, but I would say the opportunities for sure. I would say that's why we picked Dallas was for the job, the opportunities to work
yeah.
that we had out here. Also, and it was the DMV, obviously, but I don't like the cold. I don't want to deal with that. Cost of living. I didn't want to deal with the DMV. So we picked that.
And you're probably going to be back in the public sector, right?
Mm-hmm. Like moving to DMV, using my clearance and everything. Yeah, I probably would have stayed in the government space for sure if we moved to the DMV. But no. Out here, it's not that big of a government footprint here. You yeah. got what? You got Raytheon. You got the smallest Boeing building ever. You
Lockheed.
Got Lockheed. And you got some other like companies that work with the government agencies,
right.
but they're not the government contractors.
Back in that, so they used to have CSC in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that moved to Boston City, mm-hmm. at least that part of it. And then, of course, GDIT took over that.
Yeah.
I also want to ask, is there I know it's the difference in pay for you now, but does network security pay more
yes.
than networking?
Yes. Hands down.
Okay.
It was night and day.
Night and day. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. That's the crazy thing about it. Well, first of all, it is my opinion, but networking in general, I feel is a underpaid industry. It is underpaid for how important it is because you can't do your job. Nobody can do their job without networking. It is legitimately the backbone of everything. Any job. In every job, you can't call anybody. You can't get the internet. You can't do anything without networking. But we're underpaid in the sense of, cybersecurity, from what I know and from jobs and stuff that when I looked at what they're offering for, like working at a SOC versus working at a NOC. That's like the comparison that you could do between the two. So working in a NOC, I would say the average is you're definitely making less than $20 an hour.
Yeah. When I started working in a NOC, it was like $50K.
It's crazy. It's the pay disparity is ridiculous.
But I will say,
I'm not saying that, security is better either.
I'm not this is better than this.
Yeah.
I look at all this stuff like football. Everybody got to play their part. But like, I would say most NOCs don't do no work. The really good NOCs, they have people that do stuff. I think
it depends on what company you're working for.
That's what I'm saying. For most people, like I've either talked to when it came to consults or anything, they weren't doing much in the NOC. But if you get to a NOC where you actually doing networking stuff, they most of the times are taking advantage of you and not calling you like a network admin or engineer and throwing NOC on your title so they can pay you less.
So any of the NOCs that I worked at, I didn't have NOC in my name, but I can't say that I have ever worked in a NOC as like tier one. I never worked at a NOC at tier one. And I always came in as tier two, but because I had experience prior, So I can't speak for the tier one side of things, but I know in any docs that I work, we work. But it's ticket roulette. It's tickets.
Ours was different though. I found out it took me years to realize, hey, I was working in PCI DSS. But we didn't have tier one, tier two. It was just all us knocks. And then we had my supervisor, Jesse, who pretty much was doing everything with Splunk. Like that's how I got introduced to Splunk. But all we really used it for was monitoring. If transactions went down, that's when we like ran incidents and like, kind of did stuff. But like we used to like What's Up Gold, and like we could log into like Barracuda Whale. Like we had these checks to do, but we wasn't doing much. That's the reason why I used to do all type of stuff you're not supposed to do when you work in a weekend job. Inviting people to come up there, walking around the Galleria and saying, hey, I'm good. So if page duty go off, I just accept it and drive back to the office because it was like 5 minutes away from Galleria. So that's what like pushed me to go to get my master's. I was like, bro, I'm waking up. Foregoing a social life sometimes because I knew I had to be at work for 7 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And at that time, I was staying in Lil' Elm. So I was like, bro, this ain't it, bro. This ain't it.
Said no.
But I said, like, you know what? I moved out here. It's going to work out. And it did work out. Now, to spin it real quick, I got this thing that I put on here, this or that tech edition. And we've got a couple of questions on here, rapid fire.
Okay.
Working on site or remote work?
There's no hybrid option, though. For me right now, where I'm at, remote. Definitely.
I mean, I think I can include hybrid and on site.
Okay.
I was going to say 5 days a week.
Okay. Me personally, remote for my job now.
Okay. All right. iOS or Android?
Android. I'm forever Android.
I like that. I don't even know why I got my iPhone. Like I pay for it, and I don't use it.
Business, TikTok.
Kind of, but I don't even use it.
Yo, you don't even use it?
Nah, okay. I was just like, bro, I should just cancel it because I really don't use it. I had its perks, but now that RCS has been implemented, it's kind of like... and that's what I was trying to push for people to do for the longest because they're trying to clown you for your messages. I'm like, man, it ain't my fault. Like, Apple want people to get their phones.
Yeah.
But they had to go ahead and, like, agree to succumb to the power. Like,
oh, I said, you could be my friend or not. I don't care. You're going to see my green bubbles.
I think this is a cool one for you. Cloud or on-prem? Or should we say both?
Both. Definitely both. For sure.
I think you added this one right here.
Did I add one?
MFA authenticator apps are YubiKey.
Oh, I didn't add that.
Well, maybe I did.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't modify that at all.
I thought I took.
Yeah, you had that. So you said
MFA. But yeah, authenticator apps are YubiKeys or RSA tokens.
See, that's an interesting one. I'm gonna tell you why it's interesting. Working in both the public sector and the private sector is vastly different.
Facts.
So I've worked with both physical, like RSA tokens and everything like that, and of course software. I have never, ever, ever had a physical token outside of the government. In the Facts. Government, I have always had the RSA token. But you gotta think about it. We're in cleared spaces. We're working in classified areas. You can't have your phone. You can't have your phone. So the only thing that you can have is your physical token.
Yeah.
But outside of the government, if we're just working with where most people work, which is just in the private sector, probably MFA, just regular software on your phone, because it's easier to deal with. It's cheaper.
You know what? I agree. Except now the fact that we got to log into so much stuff, I'd rather go back to some solid. Because yeah. The way that a lot of times they breach companies is they'll hit somebody with MFA fatigue. So if they got all the information, yeah. They just keep on doing pushes.
And that's where pros and cons to both, because you're susceptible when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're having it on your phone, any type of attacks, you're susceptible for it. Versus an RSA token, you're not. But you could lose it.
Right.
and you always got your phone on you.
They'd be like, hey, I left my token at home. Yeah. What's the process? Or, between that and I should, you know what? I got one. That's a segue into that. Smart card or no smart card? Or as you call it, cat card, no cat card.
Smart card. I'm going to say smart card. Definitely. If we're talking like security purposes, smart card.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They didn't let me keep mine.
No.
I'm like, we used to have like a posse, like people. The thing was, it was funny, like in TSA, they had the migration. Okay, everybody can use your smart cards. But. Well, we call them PIV cards.
Yeah, the PIVs, yeah.
The people weren't used to it, so they always leave them at home.
Yeah.
And the only way you could relax the policy on the machine was like, hey, your manager got to agree that it's you who's trying to do this. And that's what we had to do for that stuff. So it was like a Gotti's car every day from New Orleans Airport. I want to say it's like MSY. He had the coolest name. And we just knew, this is the point where everybody would get him like one day in the morning, like 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, Mr. Sasuayo's on the phone. Go ahead and handle him until he finally like stopped forgetting his PIV card.
You gotta have consequences.
Okay. Mac or Windows?
Windows.
I'm surprised, really?
Well, I don't have Apple products. There's no real point for me to have Mac.
So you prejudiced.
Call me prejudiced. I like what I'm comfortable with. I have a MacBook. I never use it.
Really?
Never use it. I had the option at my last job. They give you, you could pick between if you wanted a Windows or a Mac. And so for me, I picked Windows.
I got a corny dad joke and I thought it through my head, but it's not going to land. But I thought about being cheesy and funny because I was trying to think of a way. I got both. So, you know, typically you say, somebody say like both, they buy. So I was like, I guess I'm BIOS.
There's a new slipper right there.
That's what I'm like. I thought of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm using it on the dad joke thing. Like, hey, what do you call a person that like both operating systems?
You got the daddy hat too.
BIOS. That might be a commercial. I already know what you're going to say on this one. So okay. I'm going to switch it up because that's going to make it too easy for you.
Okay.
Samsung or Google?
Okay. I'm going to say old Google. I would have said Google. Because I really liked my Pixels.
I like new Google.
I haven't, the last Pixel I had was the 6.
I got the 9 right now.
And it was trash. I was so mad. But you got the 9. So right now I got the S24. I went back. I had Pixel all the way up until the 6. And then I swapped. Because I was Samsung. I was like, oh, I love Samsung. Then I got Google and I was like, oh, I like Google better. And then Google, they messed me up with the 6.
See,
they did.
I like them all. Because the thing that sucked about Samsung is they took RCS away from like Samsung messages for that reason. So you got to use Google messages. But I've had them all. I had the first Droid. Then I had the Thunderbolt HTC. So I had two HTC devices.
Oh, I love
these. I've had Samsung devices. Then I went to the Pixels. I had the first ever Pixel. I've had like 3 Pixels. Of course, the iPhone. And for me, I like the Pixel because it reminds me of an iPhone, not in the sense of feature-wise, but I know I'm going to get the updates, and it just
works. You're first with the updates, too.
Samsung is great, but it's also like that luxury car you get that's fire when you get it, and then everything start breaking, and you go in to get it fixed. Hey, you know you can get a lot of money for this car right here, and you go ahead and get the newest model. That's what Samsung reminds me of. Cause like,
yeah, you know what? I kept my Pixel phone longer than I said I would keep a Samsung phone.
Like, that Samsung, it'd be fire, it'd be doing a lot of stuff, but you're like, oh, man, it want to freeze on me now. But I used to like it. I always like the customization. There you go. The customization of Android. And I'm glad that hopefully Apple see a resurgent.
Apple started doing some customization too.
Yeah, but it ain't like Mike, back in the day.
Used to jailbreak my Androids.
I'm using Go SMS and you got all the different things coming in, the different backgrounds. It was fun.
It was so fun. I would always change the theme, change the way my apps look, change just everything about the phone. And you couldn't do that with
Apple. I wish HTC was still around, though.
Oh, my favorite. It was the last HTC I had was a Sensation.
What's that?
It was the touchscreen. I think the Sensation was my first touchscreen phone.
I had the Joy. The last one was the Joy DNA.
I don't know that one.
Man, it was sleek, man. That thing was nice. Like, I used to watch a dude named Noah from Phone Dog back in the day. Noah. I used to watch Marquez back in the day and somebody else. I didn't know, like, now I'm doing YouTube. I wanted to review the phones, but I didn't know how to do stuff. I ain't had the money to get no phones. But I used to go to the Verizon store and, like, I knew the processors. I knew the screens. Them people didn't even know it. I was like, they should hire me.
You said, I know more than you.
They didn't. I was entrenched and I was like, because, you know, we grew up through the blog era. So I used to follow blogs and they're talking about, like, back when the Androids coming out, this the code name. Yeah. And you know, like, because I had an older cousin. He worked at the cell phone stores for a long time. So me and him would talk about it. It's like, hey, you see, this the new BlackBerry. Oh, I forgot I had the BlackBerry Storm, too.
Oh, the BlackBerry Storm. I had a BlackBerry Storm, too.
You're such millennials.
Man. Without the ball.
Man, I used to like the little click sound. But see, the first BlackBerry Storm was trash because you had to restart it, like, every day. It would freeze, like, every day. Dang. But I was like, I just was determined not to be... to get an iPhone, because I was like, bro, everybody got an iPhone.
Everybody got an iPhone. I want to be the same different. Way.
And I didn't see that special about it.
I didn't see nothing. Honestly, I looked at the iPhone was for dumb people. And it wasn't, and this is when it came out, because it was simple. It was basic. Yeah. You look at it. It was just blah.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do nothing. There was like no customization whatsoever. So that's why... I was like, if you got an Apple, I just feel like you ain't smart enough. That's how it was.
For sure. I know I had a, what else I had? I think my phones in high school, I had I used to have like this cheap Alltel phone. It was like a Samsung, whatever. It's a little flip phone. Then after that, no, before that I had a Go phone. Then I got a phone on Alltel. Then I moved to Verizon and my phone was an LG Envy.
Oh, you had the Envy.
The Envy too. So like a calculator.
Yeah.
I wish I had all these phones because like the Gen Z and the Gen Alphas be like, yeah, I was going crazy over there. I was like, man.
A full keyboard?
I had a whole QWERTY on that thing.
What?
You couldn't really get, you know, pictures over like internet or nothing, but I don't know.
T9 like, Text, when that came out.
Hey, they don't know nothing about no T9. Listen, whenever I do my live, our live show and everybody come, low-key gonna have like a T9 competition.
I don't know how to text on T9. No way. So when I was T9, we had Metro PCS at the time. So this is when Metro first came out. And their phones was unlimited talk and text when they first came out for $30, I believe it was. $30 or $40. And it was unlimited talk and text. And you know, back then...
you had to pay for text.
You had to pay for text.
They don't even know
text.
About paying for text.
And don't call me Pat. Man, those are the
sneaking
days.
Sneaking on your phone.
Nope. And then I used to always go, I used to get in trouble because I would always go over my text limit every single month. Every single month. They would have to increase it to because I was just, nah, 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 nah.
Yeah. I started off, I used to get like, y'all ain't gonna believe this, but I think I started with like 300 texts a month.
Me too.
Then I started going over that because I was like, oh, okay, everybody got a phone. Because contrary to popular belief, texting wasn't like that back then. Like, we used to actually talk on the phone. It wasn't texting. And as the texting got more popular.
And because you was in school and all you could do is text. And then people stopped having landline house phones.
Yep. They didn't even look. Don't let you have dial up and your mama trying to use the phone. And she's telling you, get off your MySpace page because I need to use the phone. So you gotta try to get on the internet where everybody sleep.
Shout out to MySpace because it taught me about coding. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. HTML was the first thing I learned how to do.
My little trick on MySpace used to be, all right, I'm going to go to the page. If it's taking a long time, I'm going to disconnect from the internet because it's going to load it up. Mm-hmm. And then plug the cord back in the back.
I love music. Music.
What was one of a couple of your MySpace profile songs?
En Vogue, Don't Let Go.
You was going through something with your boyfriend?
No. That was just, okay. Because at the time, this is when Waiting to Excel came out. And I was like, that was the song that for Way to Excel. That was that one. And then it was Mario. I had Mario for
which one?
A minute. Let Me Love You. That was
Dirty Mac song.
Hot minute. I was forever the R&B girl. Forever. Oh, and I did have, I don't know if you know this. Lil Wayne, well, it was on his mixtape. Prostitute Flange. I don't know if you know that song, but I had that for the longest.
I don't think I know that one because while I was driving here, Dick Pleaser came on.
Okay, yeah. Oh,
so hello. I was just like, bro, I ain't heard this stuff in like the longest of times.
The mixtape Wayne. Yeah.
I think I had for sure. I know what I wore out for a long time when it first dropped was My Love. Mm. My Love was like my song for sure, like that. I think I might have had Until the End of Time. I know for a fact I think I had Buy You a Drink.
Oh, of course.
I had a lot of stuff because that was my personality. Like my little playlist, you're going to see what I like to listen to. I always, you know what's funny though? I actually always been more of a melody, feel good.
You pop.
R&B type of person.
R&B
like.
Pop?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I like rap too because I like I didn't really start listening to rap until high school because I could actually decipher lyrics. I tell my little brother all the time, like, bro, you don't even know what he's talking about. What are you listening to?
I've never been into rap like that. Only some artists, but yeah.
But see, like, I ain't gonna
lie.
I'm
an R&B girl.
You know what's funny? When you kind of go back, if you really think about whoever you was talking to or liking on back in, a lot of times they was throwing some Lil Wayne lyrics at you or something in the text or something. Like all the stuff, like I had some
some
nasty work. My work was even nastier. I would take because I knew I was one of a couple of black people. I grew up listening to NSYNC. Mm-hmm. I'd go find some niggas was NSYNC and them was singing about, and put it in a text message. I was like, I know she don't know what this is. I'm gonna kill him with this one. I looked back on that. And I was like, but that's
wasn't
stupid.
Even original.
It didn't matter. Dang. All I had to do was feel like it. Because
you don't think about it. You don't think about
it. I mean,
it.
Music is how a lot of people express themselves, like when they don't know what to say. So, I mean, I think like that's the good thing about it. But no, between that and then, I don't know. Like I said, that's why I need to do like a whole other show, like millennial memories, like waking up before school if you had like cable and like for whatever reason, Frankie J with Baby Bash Obsession is on TV. Like, you know how they be doing on TikTok? It's like you getting ready for school and this banger was on.
Yeah. Or you get home from school. And all the same shows was on. I remember I used to come home from school. I don't know if you used to watch this, but you remember Jackie Chan Adventures?
Oh, yeah. Bad day.
Yeah, that used stuff. To come on when I got off the bus. That was like the first thing that would come on the TV. And then it would be, because Nick Jr., I think, was still going on.
It would be.
By that time until it swapped over to regular Nick.
We was watching that. Shaolin Showdown. By the time I was getting home, Static Shock was still on TV.
Static Shock.
Superheroes. Yep. I actually want them to redo Static Shock.
I think they live would. Action. Actually, live action. Yeah, I think Static Shock would be good live action.
But see, I would have said Shameik Moore, but I think they can use, oh boy, they can do two people. They can do Caleb, what is his name, McLaughlin from Stranger Things.
I never watched Stranger Things.
It ain't one of my personal favorites either, so I'm not going to kill you for it. Or they can use my guy from The Shy. He's pretty much kind of like, he wasn't killed off, but he's off the show now. Mm. He played Kevin. He played the little brother of Keisha. I think he could play him. And it might be some other people, but you know them, they might try to go like light skin. If that's the case, use Jaden Smith. He could probably work. It got to be somebody funny, though. Like, he had his own type of Spider-Man wit about him.
He had a personality for sure.
So, like, I don't know who they would use, but they got to find somebody. Mm-hmm. But now, going back into some of these networking questions. Now, I know you said that conversation was like 9 day. When you say 9 day, what you really mean by 9 day? Because I think you did a how much I've been paid video before back in the day, too.
Mm-hmm. So, I would say, when I was a network engineer and I wasn't working, this is me not working for like an ISP mm-hmm. or anything like that. I don't have my CCIE. Like, this is not top tier networking level. Right. But I would say when I got hired on, I got hired at 75, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I got hired on at 75K. And then, because I worked with there for a few years, I ended up at like 80 or something, like leaving at like 80.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of work
that you did for the 80. They got that 80K.
They bought out, we merged, right? Went from having, I don't know, 300 something locations to managing 300 something locations to managing over 800. And there's just two of us. Two networking people. Two systems. Two networking. One cloud.
And what happened if both of y'all call out on the same day?
We couldn't.
But I'm saying if y'all did. Like,
if we did, man, I don't even know. We couldn't, though. It was so funny. So it was just the senior and then there was me. And then, but one or the other called off. Like, there's just two people, but two people managing an entire network. And this is wireless. We used to have a phone guy, but that got swapped. And then it ended up falling under us for some reason. It was annoying. There was, obviously, we had just networking. We had to manage the circuits. We had the firewalls. We had to manage everything, literally. And we had everything at our data center. We had three data centers.
Okay.
Oh, so we had three data centers at different locations. But for that pay, there's no way. And then we was on call as well, because there's only two of us. So we was always on call, even though most places, we didn't have anything overseas or anything like that, like Cali, Pacific side was the latest that we had that stayed out from Central. So there's that. But any other networking role comparative to, let's say, dev or cloud or security, if you look at the comparative role that equates to that, you as a network engineer versus what would be comparative, just a standard cybersecurity engineer, right? In cybersecurity, the pay,
yeah.
You were at least making 100K. At least over 95.
Yeah, just a regular security engineer, you're probably getting 95.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but for, you should see the jobs that they're asking for network engineers are like 60K.
And listen, I got a hot take, and y'all will not believe that I'll say it. They job harder than mine. And that's facts. I've always felt like networking was harder than what I do.
I will agree. Working with, you know, the security, the mm-hmm. people who did work on the security team, looking at the stuff that they did versus the stuff that we did, I was like, for sure, it was more physically demanding.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. But I just, that's why I just think we're unappreciated and underpaid. For sure. Yeah, and just because, and that's why I wanted to leave. I don't want to leave networking. I like networking. But I had to think about my future. And honestly, I didn't want to go the CCIE route at all. And I was like, oh, well, where can I go? They got cloud networking. You got network security. You got different aspects of networking. But all the other aspects of networking make... like double your pay if you were just a regular working in a data center networking.
Did the day you decide to leave, what you listening to this?
No. Actually, it was little Duval smile. I'm living my best. Actually, that was the song I listened to. Yes.
This you listen when you put your 2 weeks in.
This was my military for sure song. Mm-hmm. And then it became whenever like a job, I'm like, no, I ain't going back to y'all. Like that's what it was. Cause they would try to keep you. They would try to keep
me. So you gotta hit them with this right here.
Oh, yep. Deucey.
That's we so old. We remember when this came out. I was in school when this came out. Oh man. No, that'd be though. At any job, you'd be like, hold on. What's that little meme? Not funny, haha, but funny, weird. You'd be like, I'm doing all this work and they getting paid this?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, when I work help desk, that's how I feel. I was like, we keeping the lights on.
Help desk is underpaid.
We are keeping the lights on, and these people is only doing one ticket a day.
Mm-hmm.
These people down here, they are getting bonuses in the company, and we're not getting Nathan.
So, help desk does a lot more work in the sense of tickets and handling end user support, things like that, for sure. And do I think they're underpaid? Yeah, I don't think help desk should be making $12 an hour.
No.
I don't think so. But that stuff in the grand scheme of things and like anything working in like back end is actually not that difficult. Skills wise,
yeah,
it's not that difficult, and it's not to shade anybody in help desk because you have to learn that stuff to understand the more difficult things in the back end. But I think help desk in general is underpaid. I still can't believe help desk roles out here are going for $12 to $13 an hour.
Listen, that's call center.
That is
it's call center for sure. Like I know us, I think I was getting like 19. It was supposed to be 20.
And, at least 20.
But the thing is, they told us all. Apex got us all. Apex said, y'all come on for 6 months, and then y'all going to be getting like 30-something in 6 months. Quiet as kept, they renegotiated the contract, and nobody knew. So how it worked at CSC was it was like three groups. Well, mm-hmm. at least I was part of group three. It was the first group and second group that came in. So when it came for the first group to do their 6 months to convert, they all was doing different things, and we found out, okay. We've been deceived. We've been had.
Mm-hmm. You brought them up. And that's why I was like, oh, my God. So I've worked a lot of contract roles. A lot of contract roles. I would say I worked more contract than W-2 and or full-time. And out of all the contracting companies that I worked for, Apex was the absolute worst company I have worked for. I hope they're better. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. I hope they are better.
Man, I was just like, bro.
Like this. Man, they screwed us over so bad.
My mood was like when I left help desk, when I knew I was moving to Texas, I started talking to customers any type of way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
I was like, what you gonna do?
I stopped being fake when I knew I was fed up. What it worked.
I did the same thing when I was working at Target. Mm-hmm. When I knew I was quitting Target, going to the help desk.
You didn't care.
Think about it. Y'all wanted me to go above and beyond for $7.75.
Mm-hmm.
$7.75, they wanted me to go above and beyond. I was dealing with a pregnant white woman, and she was mad she couldn't get someone on display. And I'm like, ma'am, the display is messed up. You can't get it. They don't want to be liable for anything happening to you until the display. Well, where's your manager? I was like, you can go find him, but he's going to tell you the same thing. And she got my name. I said, like, read it. Look, I'm gone.
I'm gone.
I don't know what you like looking at me like that for. And the man, I guess you were like her dad or something. He's older than me. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's cool. It don't bother me. I'm gone. I'm like, they can stay here and deal with this. But for me, you know, it's crazy. Now you can get above 15 an hour just working in the self-checkout thing at Target. Yeah.
Inflation, though.
But if if you're a college kid,
something you can't even do anything with that.
But I'm saying if you're a college kid, though, and you getting like 17 an hour. And you getting a Pell Grant and some other scholarships at Target, or as they call it, Target. Mm-hmm. You straight.
I ain't shopped at Target in months.
Don't tell me Al Sharpton got you too.
Hmm? What did Al Sharpton do?
They was rolling about the DEI stuff and all this other stuff.
No, I didn't. That was the whole Al Sharpton. Fuck Al Sharpton. What did he do?
I thought he was the person that went and walked in Costco and said, we going to shop at Costco. I could be wrong.
If he did. But, you know, that was
this year.
That was this year. That was, a couple weeks ago. that he supposedly met with these people. But no, that wasn't the whole Al Sharpton thing. No, I just haven't stopped at shop that Target because, you know, the whole thing that they decided to say no to. That I just don't understand why. Like, have a backbone. It's okay. It's okay. You know who surprised me?
Who?
Because I think you, didn't they? Was it Chase? It was because you used to work at Chase, right? Yeah. It was one of the banks, one of the financial institutions came back and was like, essentially, nah, we ain't doing that.
Probably JP Morgan. If it's going to be anybody.
Gonna, yeah, it was JP Morgan. It's going
to be JP Morgan because if you look up JP Morgan history, it's messed up.
Yeah, they came back and they're like, nah, we're not changing anything. And then they were the first ones to do it. And I was just surprised. I was like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, for my spot, it was a good company. I just didn't like forcing people to come back into work. But it's always because the old people are at the
RTO thing.
Like, I get it, though. When you go, I don't know if you probably passed their campus in Plano. Mm-hmm. It's right by Legacy West.
Yeah.
Very nice. I'm talking about you can go eat there. They got daycare for your kids if you need it. I think you get like 10 free days to bring your kids to the daycare. And after that, you probably got to pay. But I was like, nah, for certain people like me, it ain't gonna work. But back in the day, before they was tracking how long you was like active at work, I probably was scanning out by 12 head back to head home.
That's what they would do, like actually check in.
Yeah, because they wasn't checking how long you're there. They just want to see you back. Because we worked off of VDIs. So I was like, I got to bring something like home. So I was like, cool, I know my meeting is. As long as I'm home by this time, I'm good to go. So, so I had this thing right here talking about AI network security. Have you seen AI kind of not come for your job, but any enhancements or any products and network security that you could think of?
So I wouldn't say I haven't seen anything drastic outside of the normal, I would say, machine learning that's been in place that I've worked with when it comes to any type of automation. That's where it's been a thing. It's not like it's brand new, but it's new. I mean, AI is new in general.
Right.
But let me see. The most common that I've worked with when it comes to any type of, I guess, AI-ish is like SolarWinds.
Okay.
So, or handling, you know, like their configuration manager. So especially because we had hundreds and hundreds of devices and, you know, we had set up loading in all the configs and stuff. If we need to push out a configs to multiple devices at once, we would do it that way. It had status uptime, status updates. Like if it was reports, reports was like we didn't have to parse through and try to find something. You know, that's what I have ran into personally when it comes to any type of using AI and stuff like that. But it's pricey. So I think that's why I haven't ran into it much at all. Because it can get a little pricey.
I mean, think about it. They're using powerful computers to power the AI.
Yeah. And then you have to also tell it what to do. That's why I'm not, you know, people seem to have this fear that AI is going to take their job. I don't really see that happening anytime soon.
And I think in some instances, maybe because the AI agentic agents that some of the things have been built for us, like they can kind of like be autonomous.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to do a good job.
No, because you at the end of the day, you still need human intervention when it comes to this stuff, because AI is what biased to whomever.
Yeah, that's what we saw in the last episode. Like, it's definitely biased.
It's biased.
It was so like, don't tell ChatGPT you black. They could change all your answers up.
It is. So that's where it's, you know, it's so new. It's new when it comes to technology and everybody's coming out with new ways to deal with AI. AI is getting better. It's improving. But do you want to have that be in charge of your most sensitive information?
That's the whole big thing. It's like, okay, well, what if wherever your LLM is connected to, it get hacked or something?
And it's also, you know, because, you know, AI pulls data, you know, from multiple sources. Let's say you're working in a position that you're dealing with a lot of sensitive information. And let's say you're a person of power, in a position of power in a company. But you have your sensitive data out there, and AI, somebody could just use it for nefarious reasons and find your sensitive information.
And then I was just thinking about how, let's say, using all these different IP addresses to subnets and all this. And that's why I always tell people one of the, on the horizon, one of the more important jobs that's going to be important is insider risk. Because employees are stupid. They'll take sensitive information to put in their own ChatGPT.
Yes.
And so
Signal.
Samsung did it like 2 years ago. They was putting stuff in the ChatGPT and, and they got caught. Like, these are the things that I see why people be weary of people, like, you know, working remote. But it's like, you got to be smarter than that.
It is. It is. But people do, like you said, people do dumb stuff.
But the thing that companies can protect against, whether it be this, like Androids or iPhones, is, hey, I ain't got to copy and paste nothing. I just take a picture of the screen and then copy it from my phone. That's the one thing they don't have an answer for.
I can see that.
And that's why I'll be saying, as much as I love new iterations of technology, I always see the con in it, just because now I'm cynical and I always see how somebody can use something maliciously.
Yeah. But I feel as though working in, IT in general, you have a more cynical view.
I agree.
Because look at what you deal with. And working, sometimes you see what people do on their work computers.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like,
why are you looking at this?
Why are you doing this? Because you realize we see what you're doing. Everything. And I don't think people understand anything that you type. Any website you go to, there is no such thing as incognito.
Right.
There is no such thing as using your VPN. There is nothing that you do on your work computer that we don't know
your
about.
Your footprint is all there. Like,
yes.
We was working on, Zscaler blocked the download or something, but we were trying to just verify if the person actually searched for this thing to download it. Clear enough, I just do a slight query to look for, wildcard it, and then I throw Google in there. Clear as day. Person typed in the search in Google. I was like, you know you're not supposed to do that. Go to the help desk. If you need anything, anything that you need to install to make sure it's approved, just go to the help desk. That's what they're for. They got a whole thing that they sandbox and test these things out to do it. But nah, they don't know. I remember when I went to like my internal company conference like a couple years ago, I told them, I was trying to explain to them what I did. I say, listen, I'm just going to tell you this. Anything you don't want us to see, don't type it. Don't say nothing. Don't tell nobody, hey, look at your phone. Don't say none of that. Like, hit people on the side if you want something to say. Like, you might as well not even write it down. You just never know somebody take a picture of whatever you said. It's crazy out here, the things that people do.
Yes. And you peep it all.
Facts. So, now back into some other hot takes, right? Let's see if you're going to get canceled for these. All right, so we got, which one? And I don't, I'm not in depth of like the different devices and hardwares that these companies have, so you can state your claim for whatever one you pick. And I might be missing, I got some, I'm going to throw one in the phrase just because, but Cisco, Juniper, Fortinet, Checkpoint, or Palo Alto?
And this is where it depends on does it matter what?
It's whatever you prefer.
Is it in what though?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, whatever you use.
So, I have worked with Cisco's, Juniper's, Fortinet's, Palo's. I haven't worked with Checkpoint's. So, I can't really speak to that. The, and I've never worked in a position where all of one specific vendor has been used. So it's never been all Cisco.
I've never seen that either. It's usually been mixed.
Especially when it comes to firewalls. I have not seen, the only one that I have seen was using like, what is that? Wind?
Motorcycles.
Oh, is that motorcycles? Okay. So I think I've seen it one time where Cisco routers, Cisco switches, Cisco ASAs, but it wasn't used as a firewall. It was used for VPN only and Palo for firewall, which is very interesting when you think about it. But then you also have Juniper. I've had Juniper for their networking equipment, Palo for firewall. Most of the firewalls I've worked on have been Palo. Fortinet. I think Fortinet slept on. That's personally, Fortinet is slept on, but I think their marketing has been kind of like, and I think that's why.
They need to be a developer advocate for Fortinet.
Yeah, Fortinet's actually real good, and they also, I think they catered more towards smaller to mid-size companies, mm-hmm. and that's where I think they thrived because it's cost and very user-friendly. But I had nothing against Fortinet whatsoever, and it can handle large-scale enterprise environments for sure. But I'm going to be biased. I guess I'm going to say Cisco and Palo. It's probably where I'm at, and it's just because that's mostly what I worked with.
Okay.
But definitely, I would say Palo for firewalls and, Juniper firewalls, then I like them too. I don't know. It's hard to say. Okay. It's hard to say.
All right. Well, what about this one? Certs will automatically get you a job.
Who said that?
We've been on Twitter.
Who said that?
We've been on X.
What?
All you need is the trifecta.
What? Yeah. No, I don't know who. Whoever says that is lying. No, certs will not get you a job. Point blank, period.
I don't even think they get people interviews
no more. Like, well, depending on the certification you have, but some certifications you got to have experience to get anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So, I'm assuming they're talking about entry level certifications. No, certifications have always been, and I think will continue to be, a supplement to what you already know and your knowledge and experience.
Agreed. I'd only say I would get a cert to enhance what I do on my day to day.
Definitely.
To help me out with that. Okay, technically we already talked about this earlier, so I don't know why I technically got it twice. So I'm not going to ask that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know what you're going to pick for this one. Xbox versus PS5.
PS5.
I'm going to Xbox.
We go Xbox. I'm PlayStation girl. I am a girly. PlayStation 2. Yeah. PlayStation 2, 3, 4, 5. If they come out with 6, 7, 8, 9, I'm probably going to be it too.
I just liked how Microsoft has adopted the cloud. Mm-hmm. And how now they're like, you can get our games on Steam or whatever, like get our games everywhere. So they're kind of like moving into that range. Like eventually there will be no more consoles.
Game Pass is pretty cool, you know?
That's how I play South of Midnight.
Yeah.
I'm replaying it now.
So the pros, I guess. I don't know.
I like it. I
know a lot of people like Xbox because of the controller, how the joy, you know, the,
it fit right
the
in your
sticks
hand.
Are better. I don't know. The PlayStation controller fits.
I personally think once if PlayStation never has any more exclusives.
Mm-hmm. But I heard they're not. I heard they're stopping exclusives outside of, I think, their usual.
Because that's pretty much kind of what propelled them. The God of Wars. The Uncharted. You know what I want to play? Good. I'm ready for another, because I mentioned that earlier when you and Kirsten talked about the drones. I'm ready for another Splinter Cell.
What was the last Splinter Cell?
Conviction, I think.
What year was that?
Like 2011, 2012.
That was what? PS3?
PS4.
Four.
Because it was on 360 and it was on PS4.
Okay.
So it went in Xbox One.
Jeez, I haven't seen a Splinter Cell in
You can
ages.
Go back and play them like on Steam and stuff. Like, oh, I got it on my game computer. Mm-hmm. So I actually, they had this running joke on TikTok and they was like, Louisiana beats sound like spy missions. So you go back and...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
so when you listen to the beats,
they
do sound like some spy missions. So I had went back and added 400 degrees to my Splinter Cell gameplay that I had on my thing for a while. But nah, I like stealth games. I like stealth games a lot.
Yeah, I love stealth games.
But I also don't like the game to take a long time. Like, if I don't have a lot of time, like with having kids, I don't got all
you
day
to
play...
I
don't got all day to play Hitman like I used to. Because Hitman, you got to definitely wait it out to what's got people. But it could be fun.
It could be.
But it also could be boring, too, because you got to observe what they do
I
and
like,
everything else.
I like stealth games. Those are my favorite in RPGs.
Yeah. I'm not really, you know what? I'm not the biggest RPG guy. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a, if it's going to be an RPG, it got to be action-based. It can't be turn-based.
Yeah. I think the turn-based depends. I'm more of a... An action, I would say, based.
Because I would say
RPG.
My last.
I love open worlds. Ugh.
Have you played Nier Automata?
Mm-mm.
Nier Automata will probably be one of the most beautiful games you ever play.
Really?
They actually had an anime adaptation to it too. It's on Crunchyroll. Wow. It's like the most complex, like, beautiful game ever. Because you think it's one thing, then you find out you die. Like, you pretty much play as these different characters. Every time you beat it and something happens, you reawaken to play as a different character for X amount, so you kind of finish, like, the whole story. Mm. It's pretty good. Like I said, I played on Game Pass years ago, about 5 years ago. And I was like, man. It got to me so, like, I would, like, listen to some of the songs from it because it's, like, it's really good. So if you was to ever just type in on YouTube, hey, tell me about Nier Automata. You like it. That and Darksiders.
Oh, Darksiders, yep. Yep,
I love Darksiders. Darksiders 2 is like my favorite. Mm-hmm.
Darksiders is a good game.
And I like Remedy. Have you ever played Control?
Mm-mm. Oh, with the robot looking thing on the front?
Mm-mm. She is... Oh, I might so be technically it's like the FBI, portal. But oh, it's called the Federal Bureau of Control.
Okay.
And she gets these powers and she can control stuff and she's trying to figure out what happened to her brother when his kid that had these things called. I forgot exactly what they're called, like events or something like that, but the story is so good. It's like... an action-packed thriller. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It's the same. I don't know if you heard of Alan Wake.
Yeah.
It's in the same universe as Alan Wake.
Okay.
Same game maker, so that's good. And I tried to go back and replay. I tried to play Resident Evil. What is it? 2?
Nope.
Hey, I got mad, bro. Come on, I'm doing something. The Man in Black came out of nowhere. I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Resident Evil ruined. Absolutely. Ruin zombie anything. So I'm a chicken. Like, I don't like horror games. I don't like scary movies. I don't like none of that. And I blame my cousin. This is Resident Evil, the first one and two, that he had me play. This is when Resident Evil was zombies.
Yeah.
Before they became all terrified me. I hate anything zombies. I will scream, I will holler, I will do everything. And I blame Resident Evil because I was so young. Traumatized me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was like, the big Man in Black dude. I was like, oh yeah, if you can't even kill this dude, I'm like, I'm good. I'm at the point now, bro, I just look up the story on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Y'all got it. I'm taking my ball and go home.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about games right now. Okay. Now, we talked about this a little bit, but this will probably be a good segment just for a clip. Why isn't networking talked about like cyber?
I wish I honestly
knew. Is it because people think it's easier?
I don't think. I always say networking just ain't as sexy. And it's just, it's not. I think most people don't know what it is. And I think that's what it boils down to. And there's not as many people. Networking as a whole is actually pretty small comparative to security, cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that work in it, you know, since it is such a small field, I don't think you don't even think about it. In college, there was one course that was about networking and it wasn't just networking focused.
Really?
It was overall like PC focused, with a smidge of networking. But that's like all it was. But I had more security and like cybersecurity courses than I did with networking. I just honestly think it's because people don't know what networking really is. That's what I think about it.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I can't tell someone, a regular person, you know, and be like, oh, I work networking. I never could. Because they're like,
you can explain to someone like this, a 5-year-old?
No. You know, the only way I always tell people I work on computers, I really don't. I don't know anything about PCs in that aspect. Don't ask me to fix your PC.
You know what's funny, though? Anytime you tell somebody you're in IT or something like that, you automatically the PC technician.
You automatically.
Monty, hey, my computer is doing this. But
that's all you can say because you can't tell them what you really know.
I'll come look at it. Google it. It's easy for me to explain my job because I say... Hey, you know what, you know, police officers, firemen, detectives. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's my job, just on the digital side.
And honestly, I tell people, it's like, oh, I set up the internet. That's the bare bones, kind of dumb it down way. Oh, I help you get internet.
Yeah, like AT&T coming to your house and set it up. You just do it for the internet.
That's the easiest way that I would say. But I think it's just not. It's so small, and it's just not talked about enough. People just don't know what it is. That's okay. That's my view on it.
Now, I don't know. Do you have your Security Plus?
Mm-hmm.
Security Plus, hard or easy?
I remember you bringing this up. It is not hard. I do not see... Now, wait a minute. I had my Security Plus in 2012.
Mine, okay? 2013. I ain't trying to take it again since.
I never took it again. Is it a test that I would want to take again? No, it's not. I would never want to take that test again, which is why I just...
Mm-hmm. I took one that's harder, though.
Yeah.
The Cisa Plus is harder than Security Plus.
It wasn't difficult. I had to get my... They gave us 2 weeks. If we didn't pass Security Plus, they gave us like a crash course of running through mm-hmm. the freaking book in 2 weeks. And if we didn't pass it in 2 weeks, we couldn't graduate from tech school. So it was mandatory.
But see?
But you could get it in 2 weeks. I don't suggest you get it in 2 weeks.
I finished the book in like 2 weeks. And I ain't really know much, but I was like, cool. As long as I'm getting 90-somethings on the test, mm-hmm. I'm good. And that's all, like, me and a follower, we kind of... Well, it wasn't real back and forth. I think she was not. A lot of times people think when I'm coming in is what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm actually telling you based off of 5 years of talking to mm-hmm. all these different people with these certifications and why I'm saying it's easy because these are people with no background passing it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm coming from.
But it's also not, it's not technical. It's not, you read it, you take some practice questions. It's memorizing, honestly. That's
they
why
got a couple
it's
of
not,
like, performance-based questions, but...
Yeah, but it's not...
I got all them wrong and still passed.
I passed with a, what, 8, 12?
See, that's higher than mine. I think
yeah.
I had 7... What, if it was new to 750...
I think fit 750 to pass.
I had a, what, put like 780 or something like that.
But I... Never mind, I ain't gonna say what it was. We, in tech school, we had...
Y'all was helping each other out.
Yeah, we had the answers. We had dumps.
We had dumps too.
Yeah.
I had
and
dumps.
That's what, would I have passed it? Just because we only had a few hours a day to do it, would I have passed it? Probably not. If it wasn't for those dumps.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what I tell people. I was like, I said, I'm for people getting them. I was like, I just want you to know it don't mean much.
It don't. I don't think, so Security Plus is a useful certification,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're trying to be in like GovTech. You need it. It's kind of what it is. Do I think you will use the information that you learn from Security Plus in all of your, you probably won't remember anything that you even read. So no, I don't think it's a difficult, I don't think it's hard. So yeah, I guess that is a hot take. And this is not Shaden. I know people are bad at taking tests. That's not what this is. Like, I know you, every test is hard for you if you're bad at taking tests. But as a test as a whole, no, I have taken harder.
Yeah, and the secret to passing the test is just study the stuff you don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Select the best answer.
I got a good one for you, y'all. Network Plus or CCNA?
CCNA.
Really?
Yes.
I'm agreeing with you, though.
Oh, okay.
Because
yes.
We tell people you don't need Network Plus, and we were saying you don't need the Network Plus don't mean it's not okay to know the stuff in Network Plus, but CCNA definitely holds more weight.
CCNA holds more weight, for sure. CCNA opened more doors for me than any certification that I ever had. Once I had, like, when I had my CCNA, I was getting calls, like, actual interviews versus not having it. It actually opens a lot of doors. And the information that you get, and it's not, and people, I think, get caught up on the Cisco name of it, but that doesn't matter. The information that you get in the CCNA is not just Cisco specific overall. It's everything. It's everything. And honestly, CCNA or the JNICA or CIA, whatever, Juniper's equivalent, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. What else? Are there any other?
Like
does Palo Alto, Palo Alto, do they have any like entry level certs?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they got entry level certs, but it's not, the information that you have is not detailed enough for networking as a whole. Any type of like Palo Alto cert is supplemental to your networking knowledge because you won't really understand all the material without mm-hmm. having some type of networking background. Because at the end of the day, what's firewalls are networking.
Yeah. Ooh, I got one. This is not a hot take, but I thought it'd be funny to spring this on you. Now you can plead the fifth if you want to. How would you explain something to a fifth grader?
How would I explain it to a fifth grader?
Just like in as much layman terms as possible, like the goal of it and, you know, or what is it?
Ooh. Well, what is it? Well, see, that's where I am not the subnetter queen. I use a calculator.
Hey, Siri, call JB.
Yeah. Oh, that he explains it so well. Like, he got subnetted down to a T. Do not ask me anything that's not like a /24 or 32, because that's easy. You know what I'm saying?
I still ain't got it down.
But it's essentially, you are, everybody has an IP address, right? Or requires an IP address to function or connect to the network of some sort. That is your, I don't know what you would call it. Not your name, because that's your Mac. But, you know, it's your, where you are, your innards, I guess. And
do you watch mediocre tutorials and reviews?
No.
Okay.
Is it the same thing?
He says stuff like viscous innards. So that's what that reminded me
of. The innards, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, there's however many people or devices that require an IP address, you would segments, which is not a fifth grade term. See, yeah. That's why it's so hard. It means
like separating those segments. Yeah. Separate.
You separate it based off of, you know, how many IP addresses do you require? You don't want to have too much left over, but then you need enough as well. Yeah. Are you, you know, and then it starts getting a little bit more complicated after that. Is it dynamic? Is it static? Is it what?
See, there you go. So let me tell you. My simple brain thought of when you said, you know, everybody connect and need to talk to each other in a network or whatever.
Need like a phone number.
Would this kind of correlate to being like, let's say you got an apartment complex. Everybody in the same apartment complex, but they got different apartment numbers.
Correct. Yeah.
Like,
that's a good way to put it.
That's what I was thinking about. I was like, how do we simplify this?
Yeah.
And I only asked you something like that because when I interviewed for Microsoft years ago, they had a question that asked me, say, hey, how would I explain the internet to like a 3-year-old?
I hate those questions.
But my answer would say, because I thought about it at the time, I had like 2 and 3 year olds.
Yeah.
I was like, I would say, hey, the internet is like a library full of a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get what you want to see, you go select the book from the thing and read it. And the guy was like, yo, that's like the first time I ever heard the answer. Because I'm all about not complicating stuff.
I had a similar interview question, but it wasn't the internet. It was, explain to me, you have an unsharpened pencil. Explain to me how you would get this pencil to be sharpened step by step as if I was 5 years old. That I got that question on an interview before.
Yeah, because they're trying to see you.
Your thought process on how you think. It was like you're troubleshooting, essentially. Yeah. Here's this pencil's broken. How will you sharpen it again? Ugh.
Because I can keep it, because like, it's really simple. Hey, I just put in my pencil sharpener.
Mm-hmm. But they don't want to see that. They don't want to hear that. They want
to
make sure
I turn it right so I can keep sharpening.
Yeah, they want to hear like your entire, I was told that question was used to see how you troubleshoot. Like, what is your, how does your mind work when you are asking questions, troubleshooting, all this bunch of stuff? Well, how did it happen? How long or how pointy or, you know, like, how did it break before? Were you pushing too hard? Is this pencil bad? Is it just, you know, like, it was just, I was like, oh, this is so silly. It was always just so silly.
Okay. Newbies should be in office, not remote.
Yes. I don't think if you are new to IT, you shouldn't be remote.
They're going to kill you for that. Why should they? I'm just messing with you. I know why. I have an idea.
You learn soft skills and you learn. So obviously you need soft skills if you're going to be working at IT because you need to learn how to talk to people some type of way. You don't need to be the most, you know, oh, I have to talk like X, Y, Z. But you need to know how to talk to people. You will be dealing with end users in all aspects of it. You're going to be talking to somebody. But you also have people next to you. As you're learning, you can reach over and be like, hey, I don't know how to do this. Or somebody's doing something right next to you. Hey, I want to, can you show me how to do this? It makes it so easy. You could physically, especially if you're dealing with equipment, you have equipment there to work on. You don't have that at home. You have a lot more distractions at home than you do in office. And true. You can't learn.
Look, you sound like a boomer.
Well, so, and I don't see myself going back into office, but I've been working remote for a hot minute that my routine and everything that I have set, it would throw me. I don't even have clothes to go back into an office. Don't ask me. I do not want to buy office clothes whatsoever. But no, I think you are new. You're a newbie. Do not be hung up on having a remote job. You can do pretty much every IT role can be remote.
Facts.
It pretty much. You so yes.
You know what I want to
hate when people, you know, people hate the saying, you know, getting it out the mud. But you got, I feel like you got to.
A lot of people don't even have enough cachet to want to be remote. I hate when I see a person with no experience. I'm only open to be open to something that's right
everything,
by you.
Everything.
Now, unless you got a senior, so you can't walk or you got a disability. By all means, I understand. But if not, take what you can get.
Yes, literally, take what you can get.
Like, worry about the rest later. This
is the good thing about it is that, well, at least in our field of work, take what you can get because you only need a few months of experience.
Yeah.
And leave and get a higher pay. You can double your income after 6 months of working in a help desk if you want to. I give it a year. You know, work a year in a help desk. Learn everything that you can. But 6 months to a year in a help desk, get another role, and you'll make double what you're making and go from there. But no, I don't.
And you said that. Look what I thought of.
That's that deli sheet.
That's what I thought about. I think that's what Houston.
Is this?
Yeah, it's B-King. King.
No, oh, okay. He died. He did die. That whole Texas.
That'd be fun if I could really start the pot off with something like this. They'd be like, hold on.
This is a nasty song.
I'm like, turn up. I'm like, let me turn it into this.
Most people probably don't even know this song. Get that bread, get that head. Get leave. I love the peace out.
Club go. This means you make you want to have speakers in your
car.
I know.
Just start bumming.
Whoever's still in there, like, what they listening to? I don't know. Ain't nothing like some good down south music. But now that's what I thought about. You talk about it didn't leave. I'm like, hey. For sure, because I'd be telling me, like, man, just get your experience and we'll double it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do, like, for a lot of people.
Job hop.
Facts. I'm like, this is the only field where you can go work somewhere 6 months and then go double your salary somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And that's honestly, facts. People say, oh, you got your interview, they look at you being at a job for 6 months. And I was like, no, because it's so common.
It's coming, so and like people know when you're starting up, like it don't matter. Now
you're gonna bounce.
Some of the places with that culture where they want people to stay, it look at it a little different. Well, hey, they see that you stayed there a year and this, and I'm like, well, hey, that was different. I always say, if you look at this job right here, I was almost there 4 years, and I was like, I only left because I brought another child in the world, and I got an offer I couldn't refuse. And they'd be like, you know what? I ain't even mad at the family, because I'm like, that company not finna give you that. I forgot how much my raise was from going from Opta to Goldman Sachs, but I was like. They internally can't give me that. I gotta leave and come back in order to get that. So I was like, but I ain't saying no names. You said you got the coolest story for it.
I ain't gonna say the coolest. Nah, it was
weird. The best.
It was weird. But I got the best story to say about this. Cause I ain't gonna say no names. So, and this goes with being a woman. In this space, and you have to deal with odd men. I'm gonna just call him. He was odd. That's all I'm gonna say. But I was new. I was new. I was a newbie, and we all went out, you know, to dinner, right? And this is just kind of the culture of overseas in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's IT general. This role. This what they did. And so we went out to this restaurant and. Everybody, you know, people drinking. It was chill. Again, I don't know anybody here. I just got here, so I'm new. And it was one of the sergeants, I would say, which there was many. So we'll just say that. And who, you know, was at the table and he was like, oh, do you want, would you like a lemon drop? Right? They were doing lemon drop shots at the table. And I was like, no, that's okay. I don't want a lemon drop. He's like, no, 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 no. You should have a lemon drop. I was like, no, thank you. I really don't want a lemon drop. And he was very creepy in general to anyone. If you had a vagina, he was on you like, it didn't even matter. It didn't matter how you looked, pregnant, not pregnant. It didn't matter. He was one of them.
If it had a split
here. Yeah, and he had, never mind. I'm not going to describe him. But, but so he came out, you know, the waitress, everybody comes out to the table and I'm minding my business, just listening to people talk. Like she's getting the order and he reaches over and points. And, you know, he's doing the order. He's like, and a lemon drop for the lady. I'll never forget that day. But the way everybody just started, like,
looking at him,
like, laughing. And, you know, my manager, my supervisor at the time, you know, he stepped in and he laughed. He's like, nah, she said no, you know, and all this whole bunch of stuff. But it was like they clowned him so hard. But it was so bad. Like, when you used to leave your unit or whatever, you would get, you know, like a plaque, right? And it would have like your nickname or something funny.
Was it said one for the lady?
Whatever. It had lemon drop on it. And I remember when I got it, I said, because your supervisors are the ones that make it for you. And they handed it to me and it said lemon drop. I said, oh, I hate y'all so much. Because I was weirded out. You know, like that's creepy. And oh, at the time I was what, 19? 20?
Yeah.
And this man is like 30s. You know what
At
I'm
least
saying?
150.
Oh my God. I was like, please stop. Like, you're creeping me out right now. And I'm new. Oh, and then I learned that he does that a lot. He was very weird and uncomfortable. But I was lemon drop for the lady.
I ain't gonna lie, they've been this thing on Facebook. They've been asking about like what's the professions that's like a, I think like a turnoff or something like that. And I wanted to repost it and say military for sure. Because
they ain't shit.
I done seen too much with them Air Force people.
They ain't shit. Military people ain't shit.
I feel like it's just like a big college when it comes to people in the military.
It is.
I've only seen a couple people find like real love. Like, I didn't know they came up there.
Oh.
No, well, I ain't got the remote. But,
like everybody gets married and divorced. You can't be in the military unless you get
divorced. You got to. You got to get that extra money.
Hey, I'm one of them.
Stay too. Out of base.
Well, nah, I married mill to mill, so I ain't getting no extra money.
But what I was going to say, but that's pretty funny, though, with the guy. What was his name? What was his nickname? Not his name, but like on his plaque, did he have something like?
Oh, I don't know. He was still there when I left.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know what his plaque is. But you know what? It's hard to, he had a lot of interesting moments, so
it'd be like that, though. You
know, he left an impression. I will say that. I'll never forget his name.
Yeah, he probably feel bad. Well, not bad, but like no, embarrassed.
I don't think so. He did it all the time. I doubt it.
Bet. Well, real quick, what's next for Certified Curls? I know like you be going in and out of like creating content, and you was like on a crazy trajectory at first.
I was.
Like, you was, it was killing
I was, it. I was doing real good, and then I got burnt out. I think it's very easy when you're like constant with it to get burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not someone that I would say takes anything social media related seriously. I never did. But I also didn't start doing public social media until I was much older.
Mm-hmm.
I would never have done this as like a teenager or something. I don't think I would have the mental stability to deal with it. But as far as what's now, I've been posting randomly, sporadically about anything. I feel like, to be honest, because it's not, I don't look at it as a job. I didn't even know you could get paid for it when I started it. I did it because I was bored and I wanted a creative outlet. for myself.
And you started getting them brands knocking at your door.
I'm not really knocking, no. I had small ones, but I never did. I did. So I had CompTIA, the one that was like an Instagram one.
Mm-hmm. And you had to make a video for that one.
I did. And it was, it did really well. It did numbers. I was like hype. And then I think I had one more after that. And then I just stopped posting and I don't know. No, because I talked to some brands and they wanted, some stuff. I don't know. And not, and I was just like, oh, I don't want to say that. I don't know, you know, and I could say no. I think you worked with a company.
Which
that,
one?
Do you want to say company names?
I don't care.
The company, the one that did that sandbox thing.
Oh, Square X.
Yeah. Was it Square X? Yeah. They tried to work with me. And, you know, we went through the whole thing and they wanted, you know, they were going to pay a rate and everything, but they wanted a dedicated video. And I told them, I was like, I don't do dedicated videos. And he was like, they were like, well, you know, we would really want, just let us know if you ever want to do it out. And like, they were really trying to push.
Yeah, I'll be reaching back out to them. I was like, honestly, that video didn't do the best. One, I got to change the thumbnail, but I was like, it wasn't a lot of incentive outside of getting paid for it. Like, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to track how many people you bought or whatever. Yeah. So
it wasn't a lot. It was just a flat.
Yeah. I actually had forgot about it. I started making it through Loom and just started updating different parts in a video. But I like the product. I still use it though.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't.
You said disposable browser all the time.
It wasn't like the product itself. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I just didn't do it, you know, and I was just like, because dedicated videos in general don't do well to begin with.
And they only work like if it's in your niche and like you really get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see, I did the editing. If I would have gave it to an editor, then I think it could have been better. And I didn't really have it like scripted out the best, but that's like the thing you run into with like doing content. It is a lot, but like for me, like I tell people, like when I first started 2020, I was recording something new like every week. Like now when I do it, I'm doing content, but it's different because it's already scheduled out. And I got some, if I didn't want to drop this next week, I can go edit the other one and drop that if I want to. So I always got to send some on.
You always got something.
Like that's what make podding easier because I don't have to script it out. But now I got some content that I got to make. That's going to have to be scripted out because I got to be effective and get the right customer to me. But that's not too hard because I've been doing it for a while. Like once I did that LinkedIn Learning course, I learned how to script. I learned how to make content professionally. And that's the whole reason why I did the course. I use it as pretty much an internship.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what? You should do one on network security. I'm going to tell them.
Nah.
They'll give you a good advance.
Nah. I'm always want to be like, I don't teach. I don't know. I'm not the one.
You know, it's funny. You get paid more to teach for whatever reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you can charge what you want to.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah.
But you could be the new network lease.
Mm-mm.
You heard of Network Chuck. Well, this is Network Lease.
No.
I think he probably got like a million subs now or something.
I don't know.
But nah. Funny enough, though, like I really be wanting to do my podcast, like other podcasts. Like, I low-key want to name this podcast. As you was talking, I said, bro, I should name this One for the Lady.
This.
Like, they'll be like, bro, what is this? What are they talking about, One for the Lady? Like, but I don't know. I kind of want to play around with the name and see what that would do. Cause
Lemon Drop for the Lady.
I feel like it didn't happen. That part come in. They were like, what are they talking about? Like, what type of podcast is this? But I know like you were trying to figure out like what else you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Did you want to quit? Did you want to start something else? Like I got some other channels I'm actually going to make, but they're going to be different. Like people like the panels, but I think I'm going to dedicate the panels to like its own channel.
Its own thing.
Yeah. So I'll get a dedicated people, whoever really want to be a part of that and do that like once a week. It's easy to do.
And I think my biggest thing is I think just how I am. This is not something I would ever want to do full time. I never had an interest for
really?
It. I kudos to people who want to do this full time. It is not me. I do not want this
really
at all. I want, well, first of all, you know the people on the internet crazy. They're crazy.
But you're from Florida.
And they're
crazy. Yeah, definitely crazy.
Too. And I know that makes me want to not be around the crazy. But, you know, I know my personality. I don't like, I want to call myself like anal about stuff, but I don't like the unknown. I don't like, you know, surprises. You like to be in
over control of stuff.
Yes. So, like, I like having, I know how much I'm going to get paid because I budget. Like, every paycheck, I know where my money's going, how it's going, when it's coming out, health insurance. Like, I have everything,
you know,
that's, I have control over, now I know, you know, what I'm getting. And because, you know, content creation, it's so up and down. And then, at the end of the day, you don't have your own platform, for example. Yeah. So let's say something happened, like YouTube. YouTube could all of a sudden stop pushing out your videos. Could all of a sudden just say,
it's been doing that for me.
This is what I'm saying. It's like, so, because you don't have a boss, but
so that's why a while back, so whereas you're saying that, like, I've always got in trouble for talking a lot. Mm. Always. So, like, before even making this type of content, I used to make boxing content. So I always felt like, because a lot of people say, man, I don't know how you do it. This just seemed like something I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll never get like, why am I still doing it? Like every time, I kid you not, like this will probably be episode like 172 or 171, depending on when I put it out. Every night before I know I'm finna pod, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
it's like you actually get.
Yeah. Like that I'm like, joy I'm ready. Like, it. I'm like, yeah. I really want to turn, like, come up here and say, yo, hey, we back. Like, I be wanting to turn up like that. Because, of course, like, I am heavily inspired by Joe Budden. But it's just, it's something, like, I could do. And I learned a long time ago, like, hey, I need to own my audience. So, like, I got a mailing list. And then, of course, like, it funnels into the business and all these other things. So I've, like, really studied the creators that's been doing this 10-plus years and how they've done it. That's why, shout out, join the Discord. I got the Discord going on. And that's the way. Like, if you can find the people that support you and you've been helpful for them, it don't matter. Because I've had people that's booked with me. I'm like, yo, I'm finna buy a service because you didn't gave me so much free. You didn't gave me so much free game. I feel like I just got to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had that. But it has its ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it's pretty cool because you can do that. Then you can leverage it into...
Oh yeah,
other stuff. Like I definitely want
to
roll where I'm at a company where I could be an advocate, like a cybersecurity advocate, where like I can just go talk because like that's easy.
Yeah,
like, I've built that skill set over the last 5 years.
And that, but then you can use adding that to your resume will be beneficial for you to travel to different places, maybe schools, high schools, colleges.
One of the things Destiny like and I was talking about, I was like, hey, why we don't apply to go to conferences as like a media company?
Yeah.
And see what we can get out of it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, so that's something we're going to do, but I want to go to the actual like vendor ones. Not like, I mean, I wouldn't mind if like Afrotech paid for me to come, but like, I want to apply to SplunkConf as a media company, see what they'll pay for.
Mm-hmm.
See what, which one of them needs some brand ambassadors?
Yeah.
Like Hacker Valley, you know, they work with all these different security companies. Like, you know, we right here. We got y'all. So, I don't know. I think end goal, maybe. It's not nothing like soon. Because, like, for me, look, got a family. Benefits.
You got to think about,
benefits. Like.
Benefits is hard to give up.
Listen, I'll be to the point where I'll be talking to the companies. The salary may not be everything I want. But, like, hey, what the benefits looking like?
Good.
How much y'all pay of it?
Yeah.
Because, like, if y'all pay for all the benefits, I'm straight. Because
that's what my company does. I don't pay for nothing.
Man, benefits for me is like, what, 11 to 100 a month, probably, just for medical. That's not including all the other stuff. So I was like, bro.
Yeah, I got lucky because I don't pay. Well, they pay for medical. So, like, I don't pay for medical. I don't pay for dental. I don't pay for vision. Like, they pay all that.
Yeah.
And the only thing you pay for, like if you have like family and stuff, then you'll pay for.
Yeah, but it probably won't be as high as like
it's not as
else,
high.
So. No, I'm with all that because I'm just like, hey, I'm like a real parent now. That's stuff I like. Oh, how many PTO
days? You
got to
think about, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's what I was grateful. Like, this company right here, when my son was born, I had 3 months off.
Mm-hmm. And not every company does that.
Goldman Sachs gives you 6 months.
Dang.
You can get a whole new job and then quit and come back. For real, man. But at least tell everybody where they can follow you at.
Oh.
Even though she's kind of like a recluse at times.
I am. But it is Certified Curls on YouTube. And I got rid of my IG. So I have a personal IG that I post on. And it's I Am Lise with two E's, I believe, mm-hmm. at the end. I have a TikTok, but it's nothing. I'm not even going to. It's Certified Curls on TikTok, too, but I don't really post on it for real. That's just YouTube. I'm Certified Curls on YouTube, and I Am Lise on IG.
Bet. Y'all already know where y'all can find me at, guys. This has been another insightful episode of Detectual Talk. I hope y'all enjoyed it. And, send us more questions to answer. Leave us a voicemail. And we got something big coming up for y'all soon. We got an in-person live event. It ain't scheduled yet, but y'all gonna definitely want to make y'all way down to Dallas to come. But until next time, let's stay textual and we out. Peace. Bet.